right, well, let's bring up Mario Gorin. We got Lydia and Arturo over here on our side in Mexico. I know we're going to have Brad and Rebecca and Ash coming together in Texas. Give them a round of applause, everybody. Coming back up here. One more time. Can we get some more Luz, por favor?
Let's have Rebecca in a minute.
Get you guys lit up in just a moment. And I think Becca is going to go ahead and lead this discussion. So if that's the case, after she just gave that amazing talk, give another round of applause for Rebecca Bush, John.
Rebecca!
She nailed it.
There we go.
In the middle.
Cool. We're going to have Becca take this conversation. I'm going to pass it off.
I have chocolate on my face. No, you're
okay. All right. Okay, go ahead and let everyone introduce themselves again.
Okay, well, I just introduced myself, so I will pass the mic to Ashley.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Ash Wytek. I live at Greenbrier Community School, and I'm really glad to be here.
And now I will pass the mic to Brad.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brad. I currently live at Radical Roots Ranch, which is a community. And then other than that, for 5 years, I've been traveling.
All right. So we have the honor of closing out the entire activation. Oh, sorry, y'all. I just talked about virtual community. How rude of me to just jump right into the next section. All right, y'all, go ahead and introduce yourselves. Thank you. Sorry about that. My brain's a little frazzled.
Here? Okay. Oh, hello there, everybody. I'm Lydia from Geophilia.
Hello, hello. My name is Arturo from Geophilia from Mexico.
Hello, my name is Mariano Gorin. I'm from Argentina originally, and I've been here talking about ARCA, self-sufficient villages. Hey, guys in the States.
Hey. So I think it would be cool to just hear everyone's opinion of why they live in community and why they feel that it's a lifestyle that is beneficial for the soul, for physically, spiritually. Do we want to start off here in Texas? All right, I hear it. We'll start off in Texas. Let's go with Ash first.
Why we live in community. So number one, as a parent, you know, I kind of like rushed through a lot of that today, but it is so amazing to be able to raise a child in a village. It really, truly is. We have, you know, we all have different parenting styles and whatnot. And that's such an amazing thing. I've had parents say, hey, you know, if you might have handled it this way, this might have received a different reaction. And it's helped us become better parents, more conscientious of those around us. And as somebody who wanted 10 kids at one time, we have 13. And then we get to send them home at the end of the day, which is also great. But for our family, growing a family in a community is just incredible. If a water pipe breaks or something happens, you know, we call up our neighbor, hey, by the way, this is a situation. Or our son's we call it the blood and guts person, but if we need to run to the grocery store or something, you know, he's got our neighbor that's right there, always available. And so it's really cool to not have to do everything alone.
Yeah, I remember when snowpocalypse happened in Texas 2 years ago, being in community was a lifesaver. Being able to, hey, Maggie ran out of drinking water. Okay, let's go down and bring some jugs there. Or, oh my gosh, my pipes froze. Will you come over with a hair dryer and try to help me? You know, I mean, it was like really helpful to have community, even in times of crisis, to not be alone and in the good times. But I'll pass it over to Brad and then we'll go to Mexico.
So I would say that I grew up on a small family farm, and so I knew I wanted to get back to farming and living on the land, but I also knew how much effort it takes to do that kind of work, and I was definitely not interested in doing it by myself. And so I just feel that being in a community, there's so many more folks that you can share all the chores with, as well as the benefits, right? So you guys can all share meals together and harvest together. And so I like working together in community. I think for me, that was probably the main reason.
All right, Mexico, do y'all just want to go down the line? Or if you feel inclined to share why you feel community is why you chose to live in community, why you feel it's beneficial lifestyle?
Personally, I think living in community is not an easy thing to start with. I think it's like a, literally it can create like a vehicle or a cradle, if you'd like, for personal evolution. So if someone is not ready to really work inside themselves, it can be a really hard thing. And as everything else they were saying also in USA, it has all the difficulties and all the benefits, as with everything else. So living in community is like living with your own mirrors. So everybody mirrors you around. They mirror you all the beautiful qualities you have. So it's easier to know yourself better. You can understand better yourself, what you're good at, and your qualities and your gifts and your mission. I think that's one of the most important things we're here for, to understand who we are, why we're here, what's our mission, what is our gift to the world. So I think it's like an amazing like cocoon that is created in a community to do that, if you're willing to do the work, obviously. And I really think that in community we can have these five levels that we were also talking about in our presentation. So you can work together in the vital level. You can work together in the physical level, share like practical things. Emotionally, you have a support for the things you want to do. You have like this greater embrace from people that are there for you. You have intellectual, more ideas and more things to share. So somebody knows something else, you know something else, and you put it all together and you get to know more things. And spiritually, I already mentioned about the soul mission and the evolution. So personally, I think these are things that are really important if you're really ready to do the work.
In my experience, living in community has completely changed myself, because as Lydia was saying, it's a box of mirrors. So everything, it's just gigantic mirror, which is amazing. Something that we have in Latin America is that we're very tribal. We live naturally in communities. Our indigenous cultures are community-based. Where we live in, near to Valle de Bravo, there is a 100 families kind of village, and they all know each other. They live in a community. And something very important that we have understand is that community is the bonding, is either an emotional, physical, spiritual bonding. Other thing is to have an eco-village, which is like a physical construction, a place, a town, a little development, or a big development. And this community will completely transform you, but you have to be willing to do that. Otherwise, it can give you a lot of headache. It's really amazing. We would really invite you to do it. It's better to do it and make the mistake than not to do it. And nowadays, there is so much information. There is so many things that we can have around so we can avoid mistakes. We have made a lot of mistakes in our path. I have lived in different communities, in city communities, where everybody was living in their houses, but we have a very clear, specific path, and we were gathering many times a week. And I have lived also in eco-villages. And it's really, really great, but you have to be willing to be transformed.
Thank you.
Yeah, why not? Let's clap.
What I would say is a little bit of a rehearsal of what I said a few minutes ago, which is that for me, the most important thing is the like-minded individuals part of it. Because if you want to live with people that has really different customs and people that has totally different beliefs, that can bring more conflict. And that can be really complicated. So what I would say is that for me, the key is to have this, take your time or invest your time to curate your network. Take your time to meet the people, test the people. Don't be afraid of doing that. You know, if we are going to, you know, move forward in life and pass through these dark times, we need people that we can trust blindfolded. And I think that you know, filtering people is very important for that. And I don't know if I answered the question, but here it is. Thank you.
Yes, you did. Okay, let's talk about the number one dilemma with intentional communities, in my opinion, from what I've experienced. But I'm just going to go out on a whim and say this is probably the same dilemma for almost all communities, and that's infighting and conflict resolution. So I'll pass it off to you, Ash, and any advice you can give newly formed communities or folks who are interested in living in community, what to avoid and how to have healthy communication and to help when there are problems inevitably that arise, what to do to solve them and to not hurt everyone's feelings or get it to a point where people feel like they need to leave and the whole thing falls apart.
No pressure.
Well, so conflict is a really real part of community living. In our community, we are very diverse, different walks of life, different belief systems. I've had some pretty good-sized conflicts, you know, with other community members. And what I've learned through this is it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay. It's okay to show up as yourself. And even if your whole world is falling apart, these are people, even though you may be in conflict, they will hold that space for you. Not avoiding it. That was something I did in the beginning where I would avoid going because I was worried about people pleasing or whatever that looked like. And what our friends in Mexico were talking about, it is a giant mirror for everything. I mean, you may have this feeling, well, I don't like this about this person or this person harmed me in this way. But what you're seeing too is these are things that you have within yourself as well. And so I have to say that is the biggest thing that I've learned is that reflection. And it's okay to sit with that and chew on that and come back to that person and say, okay, this is what's going on here. This is how I feel about the situation. And 9 times out of 10, and something we even use with our students, our conflict resolution cards, we tend to, as human beings, think that or make an assumption that we think how the other person is thinking when it could be completely different. They might not have had breakfast that morning, you know, they might be hungry or, you know, what that looks like. And then in those conflict resolution cards, we also have like needs cards. This is what I'm needing from the situation right now. And I think going through nonviolent communication training, or what I like to call compassionate communication training, going through learning about conflict resolution is a really big, the biggest part, I think, about living in community.
Well, in our community, we are all perfect and we don't have infighting. So I'm just kidding. All right. I'll pass it off in my dreams. Actually, though, I don't think we've ever had a big conflict on our community, but I'll pass it off to Brad and would like for him to share about conflict resolution and kind of working through that and his experiences. And then we'll pass it off to Mexico.
So I would say that living in a community, it's kind of a mix of like a relationship and a small business, just in the kind of interpersonal communication. So I think it's definitely valuable if people have defined roles and you know whose roles are what, and that way it just clears up a lot of miscommunication, you know exactly who to go for a certain issue. And then additionally, just communication is so important. And I think not just communication when, you know, crap hits the fan, but just regular like check-ins, meetings, you know, what's going on, keeping people up to date. I think just over communication really helps keep things smooth and prevent conflicts.
All right, Mexico, what do you got?
Thank you. So
it's okay.
For conflict resolution, what I would say, honestly, is always inside you, right? Like things that you don't like of other people is because there's something that you don't like about yourself. So I would go with what has been said so far. And the only thing that I would like to add is that related to what Brad said just recently, is when I discuss with my girlfriend about things, we think about things as projects, right? Like we are trying to come together to actually get something out of this situation. So basically, if you get people that is in the same frequency in this sense, that, you know, wants to collaborate to achieve a common goal, it's a lot easier, you know, to set aside your selfishness, you know, or in my case, selfishness, and work together towards a shared goal. So for me, that would be the key. Thanks.
Well, for me, conflict resolution, I will not say something new that they have already said, but in my experience, is the internal work. Like the first relation you do, it's you with yourself. And then you with your partner. And then you with your family. And eventually you with the community. So if you don't do a lot of work internally, it can be difficult. Because it magnifies. It magnifies a lot. And if you remember in the presentation, we were talking about this fractality and this torus. Remember we said about the torus? So what I have lived in communities is that this torus is faster. So everything is faster. Let's say you have a problem, and then if you're living alone, or you can kind of isolate and hide, and then the problem will not arise. You can hide it and no problem. But when you're in a community, they are there. You cannot hide. They are going to push you so you can transform that. And if you're not willing to do that transformation, you will get tired. You will get tired. That's one. And the other thing, I think it has to do with this clarity. If things are clear since the beginning, or they're willing to change and adjust, things can go easily. And in my experience also, I have lived that sometimes people are not looking for community. They're actually looking for a house or a co-housing or a real estate investment or kind of having some friends around. That's different. So there are many books. You can just go online and search for them. There are many, many books that have all the details about these different levels. And some of them, let's say, some people are actually looking for deep bonding, spiritual, emotional bondings. So you have to be able to search what people are looking for. And that's the way you can create a very good core center group with high quality, because that's super, super important.
Well, thank you, Arturito, for stealing what I was going to say. That's when you are married to your soulmate. It's like, yeah. Anyway, the first thing I wanted to share is that exact word is clarity, guys, in my opinion, in my experience. First of all, you have to know yourself and what you want and what you're looking for. Otherwise, you will end up in a place where you don't want to be and you will have a bad experience. The same goes for the part of the community. Like when you are forming a community, you have to be very crystal clear on your values, on what is the important things. For example, for us in the community we're creating, it's important that people come there with a goal to be on their mission and be of service and know themselves and evolve, okay? Not all communities have that. Every community has, and that's amazing because we're not all the same. So every community, and I have visited different, they're in different levels, right? Some are in the level of the heart, some, they're in different levels and they all express a part of what we call humanity, and that's amazing. So you need to know where you're at in your community and what is important for you. So clarity is everything, and that's like how the universe works. If you want to manifest anything in your life, you have to know exactly what you want. Be very crystal clear, okay? So that's the first thing I wanted to mention, clarity, clarity, clarity in all levels. Go down to details. If you're looking for a community, write down your vision. Write down your ideal day. How do you imagine waking up in that community? What happens there? How are the people? Do you have common activities, right? If you're creating a community, do the same. Write down your vision. And a little tip on that, write it as if it's already done. Okay, don't write, I want that. I'm living there, I woke up there, and this is what happened. Okay, this is a tip. It's really amazing. So in the universe, nothing works without
it. Okay, great. Oh, she's so okay. So I want to just pass the mic down to our Texas folks and then open it up to our friends in Mexico to share their big piece of advice, either on what to do for community or what not to do for intentional community. I'm going to pass this one.
Okay. I would say just do it.
Yes.
If you're at all interested, if it sounds like something you want to be a part of, just, you know, sample it, try it out, see if you like it.
Yep, that's really good advice. You don't know until you try. Yeah. One thing to add to
that. You know, I've gotten to talk to a couple people outside of this room, and, you know, there have been people that have shared stories. Well, hey, this is where we're at in our journey. And in life, there's not necessarily a safety net. You just have to jump and know that wherever you're at in your path is exactly where you need to be. It's exactly the space, and you just have to make a choice and say, you know what, I'm going to do this today, and I'm just going to do it. And yeah, it's scary, but it's kind of like getting up on stage in front of a whole bunch of people. You survive. You'll be all right.
You more than survive. You survive. All right, y'all. What do you think, friends in Mexico?
Okay, what to do and what not to do? Well, something that I wanted to add earlier, and I know it was already mentioned, is I could not put more emphasis on violent communications, guys. It's something we should first learn when we're 3 or 4 or 5 or at school, or if any school, you know, like healthy school is there. But it's impossible to relate to other people. What is nonviolent communication? If you've never heard of it, it's not just being nonviolent. I can tell you my own experience reading Marshall Rosenberg's book. I could really recommend you that you read it. It's called The Language of the Heart. Yeah. This book changed my life. I can tell you I considered myself a pretty super low violent person. But when I read it, I realized that when I was saying something that it had a hidden message, and I was not shouting or being angry, this was a level of aggression that I was not aware of. So there are many levels of violence. So for me, it's number one priority to learn how to relate and express your needs and putting the responsibility on you and expressing your needs with nonviolence. So if you want to be part of any community or create one, start with that. That's the most important thing to do. And what to do also is be unique, be yourself, be in the community and just express your talents and your gifts and your personal note and your personal colors.
What did one not to do? Oof. Just do it. Yeah, exactly. At least you will have feedback of then what not to do. I would really encourage you to do something, because we cannot wait for another coronavirus age. You know, this coronavirus thing. Then they will have another, the CBDC control money thing. Actually, it was very amazing because Lydia, she's from Greece, and many years ago, like 8 years ago, the government was wanting, from Germany, they were wanting to do nasty things as usual, but people were resisting to it. They were really against it. And you know what they did? The government, they just froze their money. They close their banks. They have done that in many countries all over around the world. But what I'm trying to tell you is that now we have Monero, we have Bitcoin, we have cryptocurrencies. So we can actually, if they close the banks, we can still operate, because at some point, that's what they're trying to do. They will keep pushing fear. But we're in the love side. We don't care what they're going to do. Like, we're in the other side. And we're creating these things. So it's better to have something that it may not perfectly work, but at least you have a little off-grid house or a little community somewhere, or you're related to something else. Because as Derek and John was saying, these guys are coming for the money, because that's the last resource we have. But we have our own money, so we have crypto, we have, you know, like, all these cryptocurrencies, and we can still function without that. And I really encourage you to do it. Like, just feel whatever you want, but just go and do it.
All right, I will be very, very brief here. I would say that the most important thing is to do some shadow work. Yeah. Because, you know, it's what we've been saying the whole event. Basically, the people that is going to be there is going to reflect your own demons. The situations are going to reflect your own demons always. So, you know, without shadow work and without the people around you having this shadow work, it's very difficult to get along, I would say, and to achieve things at the end. That would be it. Thanks.
Awesome. Ernie Hancock says the three questions to ask are, what can I not do? What can I do? And if we have conflict, or when we have conflict, how will we handle it? I think that's a nice starting point anyway for community, but we like could have done hours talking about this topic. So I appreciate everyone consolidating everything and just shooting everyone straight with those nuggets of wisdom. So thanks everyone.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.